Thank you for listening to this message from Valley Bible Fellowship. It is our sincere prayer that you're richly blessed through the ministry of the Word. For more information about VBF, visit our website at vbf.org.
You know why? Because we miss things. And I bet half of those people are on their phones, right? Just kind of doing the zombie walk. And here's the deal. We rush, we miss out. When we don't connect, we miss out. When we fail to see the important for the urgent, we miss out. When we miss the opportunity for beauty in the mundane, and we pass connection because we're not looking for it. Man, how many times have we lost things because we're buried in something else or we're not looking for the beauty around us? Did anybody see the sunrise this morning? Anybody? It was awesome, wasn't it? It was like pink and blue with these little shots of yellow out. I'm like, oh my goodness. And so I did some other things. I got a cup of coffee and I went back out and it just faded into this like most incredible blue. And I'm like, oh, I would have missed that if I hadn't looked out, right? And so we miss things. And I want to tell you, a lot of times we miss connection with each other. We miss the element of humanity because not just phones, but busyness and stupidity and everything else in between. So we're going to unpack that today, and we're going to find out that we are wired, hardwired for connection. Can we do that? Thank you, one of you. Where are my peeps out there, the welcoming crew? Where you at? Can you guys come in here and make some noise? Where is the welcome? Come on, you guys are going to stand up or come down or do something. I thought we were going to do something. Maybe we're not. I don't know. I'm going to do it. There they are. Look at these guys right here. Come on. Kate, come up. Come up here. Come up here. Come up here. Come up here. Look at these guys right here. And ladies, D, you are awesome. They are here every morning. They are here in between. You guys are amazing. Get high fives for everybody. Come on. Come on. I get 10. Give me 10. Give me 10. That's where they are. Come on. I get that. Yeah, yeah. Look at this. Look at this guy right here. You don't know whether he's going to greet you or beat the fool out of you in Jesus' name. Hey, look at, hey, that's all I want to do. I want to say, hey, where's my little bros out that were right out here?
Emergency.
What just happened? They had an emergency. Yeah. All right, we pray for them. Because, man, there's these two little dudes out there. They're like, dude, fiery, man. So, all the, I give them a hand for getting here early. Hey, I wonder if they're embarrassed because they're all wearing the same shirt. All right, thanks, you guys. Hey, the 40th anniversary's coming up, right?
Yeah.
Are you excited?
Yeah.
Golly, man, I have to wake you guys up. Can they, so, it, we're going to take communion cups and put shots of espresso in them. Can we do that? So I was told that I can't throw out a t-shirt today because we don't have it on all of our campuses, and that's fine because I just made up the idea like 10 seconds ago. So, but what I could do is I can throw one to every campus at the same time. Ready? Oh, it's stuck. I'm gonna get in trouble for that one. It was supposed to fall off. All right, Steve, love you, bro. Okay, so can't throw it out, but we're going to talk about connection. I wanted to bring them in because they are some of the high-profile connection people that we get to meet. If you are a first-time guest here, do you have any first-time guests? Just raise your hand just for me. We're not going to make you embarrassed. We're not going to throw a pie in your face or anything else. Thank you for coming to Valley Bible this morning. Seriously, thank you. I'm glad you brought your daughter out this morning, sir. Thank you. That was very smart of you. So, they are the first line, man. They are the first line of connectedness here at VBF. So when you know, get a chance to shake somebody's hand or you see them, man, love on them. Because, if they don't do a good job, you know what? We all kind of like are stepping up to the plate with a couple strikes on us. You know what I'm saying? Like, man, they don't even get to see the bald pastor before, you know, they meet like 10 of you guys. So, man, it's all of us doing this thing, doing this Valley Bible Church thing together, okay? So, we're gonna get on to it. I'm getting on my cheerleading box. We're gonna do messages, okay? Can we talk about Jesus and stuff? All right. So I'm gonna tell you a story about Ruth. You guys heard the story of Ruth in the Bible? She has her own book. She was the great grandmother of David, King David. Ruth, actually, before she entered the picture, her mother-in-law Naomi was an Israelite. She lived in Bethlehem. And her husband Elimelech and their two sons were all Bethlehemites. They lived in Bethlehem, and there was a famine, and so they moved to the land of Moab. which is a foreign land outside of the land of Israel. And they lived there for a while. And so Ruth's two sons took Moabite wives because they were in the land of Moab. And what happened was the years were not kind to them. And so Naomi's husband Elimelech died. Ruth and Orpah were the two daughters that were married by the sons. Both of the sons died, so there's no guys in the picture. So it's basically Ruth, who's an Israelite, moved to the land of Moab, and these two Moabite ladies named Ruth and Orpah, and they're there together. Naomi gets news that God is blessing Bethlehem again and blessing the land of Israel, and so they're going to move back. And so Naomi, this is all in Ruth chapter 1. Naomi says, listen, ladies, I'm going to move back to the land of my fathers, and I'm going to start new. And you guys are from the land of Moabite, so I'm not going to ask you guys to come to a foreign land, but you guys just stay here and start a new life again and take new husbands, and that's going to be good. And then here's what happens. So we pick it up here in Ruth chapter 1, verse 14, and it says this. And again they wept together, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law goodbye. But Ruth clung tightly to Naomi. Look, Naomi said to her, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. You should do the same. But Ruth replied, don't ask me to leave you and turn back. Wherever I go, wherever you go, I will go. Wherever you live, I will live. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God. Wherever you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. Bam. She ain't messing around. She's like, I am committed to you, oh mother-in-law, oh friend, oh mentor. I ain't leaving. That's a friendship. I mean, that is one of the most embracing, passionate stories of friendship in the Bible. You are not going to shake me loose. I am coming with you. That's the friend you want to have, right? That's the friend not only do you want to have, but ladies and gentlemen, that's the friend that we need to be. Yes, yes, yes. So we are wired for this connection. We are wired a certain way. Last time, we talked about God created us and he formed us and he made the man out of dirt and breathed his life into him. And man became alive and God touched man. He was the only one of his creation that he touched. He models that he is the Father. He is created. Jesus calls us friends. Jesus still wants to be your friend. By the way, if you have not had a connection with Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, today could very well be that time for you. I understand that thousands last night in Angel Stadium came to Christ, and that is awesome. And I didn't think anything really good came out of Angel Stadium, so... He's always got to mess with sports, right? I know there's Dodgers fans in the house, so we'll just leave it there. So we know that we are wired. We know that we're wired differently. We know that we're wired for connection. And I want to get a little scientific-y out today. Can we do that? That's not really a word, I don't think. If it is, I just made it up. I mean, if it isn't, I just made it up. If it is, then just, you know, there it is, scientific-y. And we're gonna get a little nerdy, and we're going to talk about how we are, and because we are wired a certain way in our DNA and in our genes and in the way we are and the way that God created us, we act a certain way, and God wants us to use our actions to bring him glory and to reach other people. Because at the end of the day, it doesn't get more complicated than this. Love God, love people. I'm telling you, that is about as simple as I can make it. If you don't get anything else out of this today, love God, love people. Truly, truly love. You're going to have to find out what love is. You're going to have to find out how much God loves you. You have to find out who your neighbor is and who other people are. Love God, love people, and you'll be okay. So number one, we are wired this way. God made us a certain way, and because he created us with a certain way, and our body took form, and our brain started to function, and all of our nerves and our synaptics and start firing, and the way that we think, the way that we operate, should tell us some things about us. We are wired for connection. We all know it. Deep down inside of your gut, you know that you're wired for connection. You know that you should meet your neighbor. You know that you need to be more friendly. You know that you need to smile more in Jesus' name. You know what I do when I drop my kids off every day at school? I say, you know what? Today's going to be an awesome day. We've unpacked this for years now. My daughter just started high school, so you know, 9 years up until this. I said, sweetie, you know what? People need to know that you love Jesus, and you know you're going to have a good day when you got Jesus in your heart and a smile on your face. You know what I'm teaching them? Love God, love people. And so every day, here's what my kids do. They give me the biggest cheesy grin they could. They get out of the car, and I'm like, hey, today's going to be a good day, and they go... I'm sure it's a real smile in there somewhere. Some days it's harder to smile than others, all right? But I want to teach them practically. It is simple. Love God. Love people. We know that. We know that friendly people get along more in life. Patients who are likable get more time from their family doctor. These are scientific studies. People who are more likable get more done at work, they work less, and they get better and quicker promotions. Oh, and by the way, when you get more promotions, you probably get more money too. Just saying. Like people a little bit more can equal money. People with more contacts get better jobs and faster. People with better quality friendships live longer. You guys remember 2 weeks ago we said married people live longer, right? Guys live how many years longer? 7, that's right, and women live 2. I think we just pulled it down, guys. That's all right. If you don't know what I'm talking about, go to vbf.org. You can download the message right there. It'll change your life or your money back. It's free. It's free. So families are better, lives are better, society is better. There is a couple problems that we have with our connection and with our wiring that can hold us back. And this is not an exhaustive list, but busyness can hold us back, right? If we are too busy, it is hard to be connected, period. So the phone and our wired devices are not the only things that keep us busy. Our work schedules keep us busy. Stupid things keep us busy. You ever sit down at Facebook and just go, oh my gosh, where did the last 45 minutes go? Keeps us busy, right? Easy to do, man. Sometimes Facebook is like a black hole. Oh, and by the way, thank you for all you guys that put a billion cat videos on my Facebook. That was awesome. I met a friend that I'm not really close to, and she's like, wow, so I know we're Facebook friends, but like you really have an unusual amount of cat videos on your Facebook. I'm like, inside joke. So it was funny. So busyness, which is a disease, I believe, can keep us disconnected from people. Selfishness, insecurities, loneliness. What about even these things that are caused by hurt and rejection and sin? Can stop us from being connected too. So these things in our life, and maybe the Holy Spirit is working in your life right now going, man, you need to pray and get this crud out of your life. At the end of the time today, man, I'm going to have us all lift our hands. We're going to cry out to God, and we're going to have our prayer team down here. And if you guys want to pray for them about anything, I'm just going to open the altars up, and it's going to be good. And I think God really wants to set us free to clear our slate so that we can get rid of the sin, get rid of the rejection, get rid of the loneliness, get rid of the selfishness, get rid of the busyness, and really learn to connect with people, because we know if we connect with people, we connect with God. And if we connect with God, we should be connecting with people. So number two, we're hardwired in our DNA. It's getting more nerdy as we go along, okay? Put your nerd belts on, because here we go. We're hardwired in our DNA. Let me unpack a verse here real fast. Psalm 139, verses 1 through 4. I'm going to read them. And when you go back in the Hebrew and you do some Hebrew word studies, is there anybody that just really gets like into studying the Bible, just like, man, I want to tear it up, original language? You need to look up the word yada, Y-A-D-A, in Hebrew, and it will blow your mind. It's a phenomenal word. It speaks of connection. It speaks of covenant. And I'll tell you, used a couple times here in the scripture. Psalm 139, verse 1 through 4. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. Say known. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You understand my thoughts from afar. You scrutinize my path and my lying down. You are intimately acquainted with all of my ways. Even before there was a word on my tongue, before, behold, O Lord, you know it all. The word know here, which is used the first two times and then in the last verse, is the word yada. It's Hebrew, and it means to know. And it doesn't mean just to know from kind of an intellectual assent, like, I know that. You know, like we would all say, 2 + 2 = 4. I know that, right? But this means to actively be involved. A little definition says, perceive, see, find out, discern, distinguish, be acquainted with, experience, not just intellectually, but experience it, being involved in it. Some of you guys are thinking ahead of me right now because you know that in Genesis 4, the same word know that we're looking at here in Psalm 139, in Genesis 4, verse 1, Adam knew Eve. And you know what happened when Adam knew Eve? They had a baby. It's the same word, to experience, to know. When you know somebody at that level, God says, I know you at that level. You have nothing hidden from me. In the act of baby making, there is nothing hidden. You know that person, not just intellectually, but you know them. And by the way, sexuality is such an afterthought, I think. It's so overrated in compared to knowing God, to knowing that intimacy. And if you read this, knowing yada and knowing how God scrutinizes us and how he knows everything about us, you'll read this and you won't think about sensuality at all. You'll think about a God that loves you. Oh Lord, you have searched me and yada, you know me, you get me, you're intermingled with me, you experience me, and vice versa. This passage is dripping with intimacy, and it's intimacy from God to man. You know everything about me when I sit down, when I rise up. You understand my thoughts from afar. You scrutinize my path and my lying down. Why would God Almighty, the creator of the universe, know us and scrutinize us? You are intimately acquainted with all of my ways. Why would he care? Because he loves you. Because he wants to be connected with you. That's the ultimate connection. It's the ultimate covenant. The word yada actually even means covenant. I covenant with you. I don't know if Adam and Eve had a marriage ceremony. Maybe they did, maybe they didn't. But you know what? They were in covenant with each other. 25 years ago, I became in covenant with my wife, man, and we have kept together. We experience each other. We know each other. We yada with each other in a passionate, intimate, not just intellectually, but an experiential way. That's the covenant that God wants to have with you. And it's modeled a little bit in husband and wife, too. Are you kind of getting with me here? So you can read Psalm 139, which is a phenomenal psalm. It's my second favorite psalm, I think, in the whole Bible. It is awesome. In fact, we'd probably all be good if we read Psalm 139 every day this week. Just put it on your bathroom mirror there, print it out. It's not really long, and I think we'd all be better people for it. You know me, God. So, scientists tell us that some of the reasons that humans differ from other animals is because we have opposable thumbs, right? We have the ability to use tools or whatever. I don't know. Some scientists would say that, you know, that's developed over thousands of years. I would call baloney on that because I think, you know, man is, you know, created by God, not over, you know, millions of years. Whatever. That's not my point. But my point is that man is different from animals. We know it. Scientists know it. The Bible says it. And humans have larger brains. These are facts. Humans have larger brains that enables us to do math, reasoning, memory, and language, right? Some scientists, this is so funny. When you study all this stuff, you're like, do people really? So they say that primates, so in our evolutionary process, primates used to groom each other. You know, you see the monkeys, like, I don't know, I think eating stuff off. You know what I'm talking about? The little monkey videos that we've, come on, does everybody know what I'm talking about? See the little monkey? Okay. I'm like, oh man, if they don't know what I'm talking about, they're like, monkey videos where monkeys are eating fleas off each other. It's like, what does it got to do with church in the Bible? Bear with me. I told we're getting a little scientific. We're getting nerdy here. And so humans, because we have a bigger brain, our brain grew and expanded so that we can use language, and our language is kind of a way that we groom each other. Primates groom each other for that intellectual connection, right? For that social connection. And so we've advanced beyond primates, so we don't pick each other's fleas anymore as an act of love. We just, you know, high five and be in relationship and most of all talk to each other. Okay? So there's probably some scientists out there that's going to come up and talk to me afterwards. Forget, I'm just trying to make a point about how we're different, how God has wired us different. We have social intelligence, right? The capacity to negotiate complex social situations and environment. We can do abstract reasoning, right? Problem solving. So this is great for helping us function about how we are supposed to be social and connect with each other. The downside of that is also kind of we can spread diseases, we can spread rumors because we have that same capacity, right? I don't think, you know, monkeys in their grooming of each other learn how to spread rumors, you know, like, oh, this guy's a bad flea or something. I don't know. So, there is a machine called the fMRI, and it magnetically maps the brain, and this is kind of cool because without going in and without, you know, cracking somebody's skull open, we can see their brain. It's helped scientists and doctors identify exact locations for surgery and so on, but they've also found out that it is the seat of emotions, and they can actually measure emotions as they use an fMRI on people's brains, which is really kind of crazy. And so they've tweaked that enough. Not only do they understand our emotions, but they, this is kind of crazy. They're actually learning from these machines how to do better market research on us. All right. So they're seeing how we are connected and how our brains fire and work. And they're saying, oh, that can be help for surgery, but could also be help to sell stuff, which, I mean, I guess it's okay. I don't know. I mean, I don't have to buy it, even though they know how to sell it to me better. There's a website I came across called 23andme.com. It's a website for if you want to find out your DNA and find out how compatible you are with your wife or your husband, and or a future potential wife or husband, which is kind of cool, right? It's probably not really romantic, though, because what they do is they match up 23 chromosomes and make sure you're a good match and all that stuff. And, like, I'd rather have my parents help me make a match for my wife, right, and, like, my friends and, you know, like, some romantic dates other than spitting in a test tube and sending it in the mail, okay? So, but if you want to do that, you can do that. It will match up your chromosomes and make sure you're compatible. Let me talk to you about something called algorithms. Algorithms is just a weird word for like patterns, I think. So they can get complex. If any computer scientists are here, you hear it a lot in computer programming. And algorithms are patterns that can be repeated and replicated to produce consistent results. So what that means is kind of like, I remember I take a computer class back in the day. It's like if A, then B, and if A plus A and B, and so it goes on. And so this is how computer programs work, right? I'm saying all this because we are the computers and we have all these algorithms rolling around in us. We have all these scripts running, and just like a computer that is already programmed to do stuff, you double click the button and an application opens, right? Same with us. We enter into a social situation, our application opens up and we become social and we start making friends and we size up this person, we talk about that and so on. Are you with me? Am I getting too nerdy? Anybody? Am I getting nerdy right now? If I'm getting too nerdy, just raise your hand and we'll have an usher escort you out. We'll give you some oxygen. Then you can come back in, okay? Nothing wrong with that. I'm just saying. So we use algorithms all the time, right? We're using for morning routines. Here's an algorithm. You get up, you stumble across the bedroom, you grab your toothbrush in the bathroom, right, brush your teeth, get a cup of coffee, get in the car, go to work. That's a pattern. It's an algorithm. You do the same thing, ladies. You make chocolate chip cookies. It's a recipe. It's an algorithm, whatever. You guys ever go to a website and like there'll be ads, and the ads are kind of creepy because it's the same stuff you've been shopping for? Anybody? I was looking for a pair of hunting boots about a year ago, and so I went to a couple sites, and I go, oh, this is exactly what I want. I went there, and so for the next, like, 3 or 4 months, like, every ad I saw was, like, hunting boots. I'm like, this is creepy. It's like the hunting boot stalker has invaded my computer. Well, that's not an accident, and it's kind of cool. So you have on your computer, you have these little cookies that help you retain information, right, or help retailers retain information about you, and when you show up at a site, the cookies say, well, here's what they visited last. And it actually works, and this is one of the geniuses of like retailers like Amazon. And so what they do is they do comparative algorithm comparison. And so what happens is, like, so let's say that you bought 2 CDs and a book, okay, at Amazon, and then somebody in North Dakota bought the same 2 CDs but a different book, all right? So wouldn't it reason that you might like the book that the other person bought, and they might like the book that you bought, right? Because, and so that's what they do. So it's just another way of niche marketing, right? Of impulse buying, of helping you decide even before you know what you want, what you want. Are you with me? I kind of like that. Like, wow, I didn't know I needed that, but gosh, I need it now. Right, right? It's the same thing. When you go to the supermarket today, right, you're going to buy your stuff for the kids' lunch, you can buy stuff for dinner tomorrow night, and you're going to look over there, and there's like 15 kinds of mints, right? There's gum, there's magazines, there's batteries, there's candy bars. You don't need any of that, right? But you end up buying it. Mostly because your kids are going, Dad, can I have this? Dad, can I have that? Dad, can I? Right? But even if it didn't, you're like, oh, I just bought a flashlight. I'm glad the batteries are here. Right? They help us, right? So it's the same thing, just like, you know, 2.0 for, you know, 2015. So I say all that again to say that this is us. We were the people that created these algorithms. We're the people that programmed the computers that matched up, you know, your 2 CDs and a book. This is how we think. Collectively, some scientists or some computer programmer somewhere came up with this and they put it out, but we're all wired that same way. And what they use for retail, I'm telling you, we can use for retail too. It's not a problem, but we need to use it for God's glory. We need to use this for relationships. We are Google. We are Amazon. We are those computers that are wired that way. You can see by the things that we output that we think this way. We think algorithms. We think connection. We think relationship. And if you don't, maybe it's because some of those things we talked about earlier. We're selfish, we're too busy, we have sin in our life, whatever. God created us for connection. I personally believe why we have to eat 3 times a day or whatever it is. Maybe if you're on a diet, you have to eat 6 times a day, which never made sense to me, but that's all right. I think God created us to need food several times a day, not so that we can drive past a building that has a hole in it and hold out our hand and receive a paper sack, right? Although we all do that. I think God did that so that we can sit down three times a day with some homies and break bread. That's why I think. All right. Good. Thank you. I was hoping you'd clap for that one. Not for me, but because I think that was a good way to say it. We're hardwired for action, okay? We're hardwired for action. John 15 says this, "There is no greater love than this, than a man would lay down his life for his friend." The verse after that, Jesus goes on and says, "And I call you friends." Here's a couple other examples about how we're hardwired. Not so much in our DNA, but again, how we process, how animals process, how that we think. And again, I want you to use the things that we're using for examples here. Ingest them, chew on them, see how you can use them in your life to bring glory to God. There's a social function called flocking, all right? And it's not like where you spray a Christmas tree with white stuff, okay? All right, yeah, I won't use that joke later. But flocking is similar to like swarming, like flocking or birds, right? I just saw a bunch of geese flying over today. They're in a V, right? Why do ducks and geese fly in Vs? It's kind of cool. I don't know. That's cool, but you know, have you ever seen like the swarming birds, like the little tiny birds are just like, like this time of year, man, certain cities just get it. And man, it's just like thousands. I was gonna show you guys a video of like thousands of these like swarming birds, but there's really no point in it, so I can explain it to you. Because you guys have all seen it, right? Or swarming insects, right? Have you guys seen the insects and you're just like hovering and there's like these little masses of clouds that are kind of like, they don't have a central leadership. They don't have anybody going, left, right, here we go. They don't have time for that, right? It's just kind of instinctive and they swarm all over shoals of fish, right? Same thing, they swim and the predator comes. You guys all watch Shark Week, right? So you see the little schools of tuna and they're just, it's graceful, it's awesome, right? And so they're swimming, here comes the predator and they all split up and that one little tuna, man, he just doesn't make it, right? And so, So there's several things that just are kind of instinctive. And humans, we're like that too. You ever walk in a busy city? You're walking straight in the crowd and somebody's there. You're like, everybody moves out of the way, right? Just like if you could see a bird's eye view, we'd look like little ants all, you know, going around. But we all stay in line, freeways, right? Traffic patterns. We know this. And there's some rules of flocking. Again, this is how we are wired, right? God created us. We, you know, kind of owned the creation. He gave us our own life. And this is who we are, and this is what we have to work with. And so there's several rules that you can follow as if you want to flock. I'm going to skip those because you don't really are probably not going to go out of here and flock today. And everybody goes, okay, we got the rules down. Okay, we're going to go flock on the freeway. And, you know, so anyways. Impact. There's a guy in the mid-60s. His name was... Locard. His name was Edmund Locard. He has this principle, and again, he kind of, I think, summarized the human experience. And basically, his principle is called the Locard principle. It summarized this: every contact leaves a trace. He was a criminologist. He was the first kind of CSI guy, right? He was called the Sherlock Holmes of Paris. And what he did was he said, every crime scene, you leave something behind. Every person in the room, the perpetrator, everybody, leave something behind and you take something with you. The Locard principle says you leave something behind and you take something with you. Let me read this quote. It says, wherever he steps, whatever he touches, whatever he leaves, even unconsciously, will serve as a silent witness against him. Not only his fingerprints or his footprints, but his hair, fibers from his clothes, the glass he breaks, the tool mark he leaves, the paint he scratches, the blood or he deposits or collects. All of these and more bear mute witness against him. This is evidence that does not forget. It is not confused with the excitement of the moment. It is not absent because human witnesses are. Only factual evidence is what it is. Physical evidence cannot be wrong. It cannot purge itself. It cannot wholly be absent. Only human failure to find it and study it and diminish it will, and fail to see it will diminish its value. Why am I saying this? I told you I was getting nerdy, but I tell you this to say the same thing. In the same thing that Edmund Locard saw as a criminologist and as a doctor, we have in us. And he realized that in every crime scene, every person leaves something behind and they take something with them. I will tell you this, every person you meet, every relationship you have, even if they're in cars driving on the opposite side of the street, you take something and you leave something. You ever just glance eyes with somebody just for a quick second, just... and then you're on. Did it just say something? We are these intense computers, not made of hard wires and hard drives and wires, but you know, we're made out of flesh and blood, and God made us this way. We are social beasts. We get it in our getters. We know in our knowers, man. It's who we are. We are created for connection. We are wired for connection. We have to connect with each other. Our friends know that. You guys have probably heard of 6 degrees of separation, right? That means we are connected not just to our friends and not just to our friends' friends, but we're also connected to our friends' friends' friend. And by the way, we can detect happiness 3 generations removed from people. So, you know, you might be happy today because your friend's friend friend is happy. People on Facebook, this translates into social media too, people on Facebook that have smiling pictures tend to have more friends with smiling pictures. I'm just saying. So 6 degrees says this: not only do our friends, friends, friends influence us, and that's about where influence stops, is at 3 degrees, but we are connected by 6 degrees. Scientists have proven this again and again. I wish I had time to unpack this a little bit more with you, but scientists have proven that everybody on planet Earth is connected by 6 degrees of separation. That means that you may not know everybody on the planet, but by 6 degrees, on average, you are connected to everybody else. So your friends, friend, 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 you are connected. They did this through a series of mailing. They mailed packages, and it took 6 stops to get there. They recreated it and did emails, and it took 6 stops to get there. I'm telling you, I don't have time to massage this all the way through, but we are wired for connection. We are created for connection. We're connected to each other. We influence at 3 degrees of separation, and we're connected to everybody on planet Earth by 6 degrees of separation. Relationships just happen. Whether we like to or not, whether we want it to or not, you cannot be a hermit if you're hearing my voice right now, right? I'm sure there's a colony of monks somewhere out in the you know, the Atlantic Islands somewhere that, you know, they have their own little cloister and they're not seeing anybody else, and that's fine, but they are still connected to each other. We are going to have, it's like a kettle that's steaming. You ever put a water on and it's going to steam, right? When it gets 220, it starts boiling, it's going to steam. That's the same with us. We will have to make friends, right? There's no way that we will not make friends. Something inside of us are going to blow up, even if it turns up to be a, you know, our best friend is a dog or whatever. We are going to have relationships. They will happen. I submit to you that we need to be more purposeful in them, and we talked about that a little bit more 2 weeks ago. But being purposeful is something that takes time, and it takes intensity, and it takes intentionality to be purposeful in our relationships. Henry David Thoreau said this: the path of least resistance leads to crooked rivers and crooked men. I'm just waiting. Let that soak in. It's good. The path of least resistance leads to crooked rivers and crooked men. How do we pass this wiring down? How do we transfer our connection, our wired connection, and having friends and being friendly to other people? I'll tell you this, some of life's best lessons are caught and not taught. Jesus said this in Luke 6. Jesus gave the following instruction. Can one blind person lead another? Won't they both fall into a ditch? Students are not greater than their teacher, but the student who is fully trained will become like his teacher. We become like those we hang out with. We need to be intentional. I told you just a second ago that life's best lessons are caught and not taught. I'm going to tell you this. If you want your kids to learn finance, the best thing you can do for them is bounce a checkbook. Let them see it. Practice frugal spending. You don't have to give them a life lesson. If you want to show your best friend about relationships, about how he needs to love his wife a little bit more, husbands, love your wife a little bit more and let it spill over. You can do so much more by modeling than you can by mouthing. We don't need more life lessons, right? We just don't need, that's what my daughter tells me all the time. Dad, thanks for the life lesson. I'm like, I hope that wasn't sarcastic. Because you need life lessons. In fact, sometimes the punishment is the life lesson, right? All right, listen, I'm not going to ground you, but you are going to listen to me drone on for the next 5 minutes. All right, and you're going to like it. So as we model, we need to realize that we model at all the times. We can't just say, I'm modeling this and I'm not modeling that. All right, we can't just turn it on and turn it off. Our little eyes, whether they're your kids, your neighbor's kids, your neighbors, people in church, whatever, they are always looking at you. What would it be like if we had the little, you know, the things that cops are getting, the little wearable electronics now that videotape everything? What would that be like if it was always on you all the time and you could review yourself at the end of every day? I'd be scared, man. I'd be like, oh, I did not. I mean, I would just like spend half of my day living and then the other half repenting, right? Yeah, I mean, it's just crazy. But life's best lessons are often come from modeling. There's a thing I call the campfire phenomenon. Back in the day, right, before electricity, before lights, I think man has this innate desire to sit by lights and look at other lights, all right? So back in the day, you would sit by a campfire and you would look at stars, right? I think things haven't changed much, right? We sit by a light bulb now, right? And we look at the TV, right? Right? I mean, I haven't seen any scientific studies on this, but I'm just go out on a limb right now, and here's my hypothesis, is that men and women like to sit by lights and look at other lights. I think that's the way that God created us. I think we're wired that way, right? And the power of the campfire is sometimes lost. I remember growing up, and we still had the power of the campfire, but it was like we'd watch during commercials. We would mute the TV, and then we'd talk. How was school? You know? Right? We were watching TV, but there was still some interaction. Today, I don't know if a lot of people watch TV, but, you know, Susie got her iPad and Billy got his phone and so-and-so is watching Netflix, and we don't have that common denominator even of the TV, but still, we're sitting in front of lights and watching other lights, right? Because we're in the room with the light on watching the internet or whatever. And I think God, the Creator, kind of wired us to be that way because He wanted us to sit around a campfire in a small group with each other, right? You can't sit around a campfire with, you know, 100 people because you got the first row, it's getting warm, everybody else is getting cold, you know? And so I think we have to be in intimate groups, and you can look across the fire at somebody else and go, when you're looking at somebody face to face, you'd be like, how you doing? What's going on? How was your day? Right? I mean, it's pretty awkward if you're just going to be like... I think we're wired that way. I think we need to harness the power of the campfire or just find another way to sit by a light and look at another light with your family all around. We just need to reconvene. Maybe it's dinner time, right? Maybe dinner time just needs to be like maybe 3 or 4 times a week. We just need to go, nope, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, we're having dinner together, 6 o'clock, be here, no excuses, no phones, right? That's cool, man, the power of the campfire experience. You see, I think we have lost interaction. We need date nights with our spouse, not TiVoing The Bachelorette. We need board games with our kids, not watching strangers on reality TV. We need personal conversation, not social media. We need each other and to connect with each other and not connect to the internet. Bam. I just think that's the way it is. I believe Christ left 2 valuable institutions behind when he went up to his glory to prepare a place in heaven for you and I. I think he left 2 institutions to help the earth, to sustain it, to preserve it. One is the family and one is the church. And I think they're both under attack like they've never been under attack from a global perspective before. Ladies and gentlemen, have your family. Have them close. Be like Joshua. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. If your kids aren't involved in our children's programs... In our youth programs, they need to be. Sleep is overrated when it comes to Sunday morning. Right. You can get a Sunday afternoon nap. By the way, Sunday afternoon naps are awesome, aren't they? I love to fall asleep to a good football game. You know what I'm saying? I like to watch them too, but sleep does take priority sometimes. All right. We need to believe that this is true. We need to believe that the family and the church are the most important institutions that Christ left behind. We need to unplug and hug. We need to detach and talk. We need to rekindle the lost art of relationship. I want to read you again the passage that Ruth so passionately spoke to Naomi. Ruth chapter 1. Don't ask me to leave you and turn back. Wherever you go, I will go. Wherever you live, I will live. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God. Wherever you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. I'm telling you, that is awesome stuff. Right? Clap for the word of God. There you go. That is very good stuff. I tried to do a little experiment the other day, and I thought, you know what? Again, I'm not anti-technology, digital stuff, anti-media, but I like it. It's a tool, right? And so I go, I'm going to use what I've learned on Facebook, and I'm going to make some new friends the Facebook way, all right? So I walked down the street, and I had some pictures, and I showed people what I eat, right? I'm just like, hey, how you doing? Burger and fries. And... I told everyone I met how I feel at the moment. I'm really mad right now. Boy, I got a long line I got to wait into, right? So I would tell everybody this, and I would rant about everything, especially my political views. Some people got mad. Some people liked them. I had a bunch of people that liked me, a bunch of people that didn't like me real quick, right? I'd show them pictures of me and my family. This is me doing yard work. Here's my family at the Grand Canyon. You know, I'd show them all these pictures, and some of them just kept walking, whatever. I'd listen into their conversations, you know, so I thought, well, maybe it's not just a one-way street. So I'd listen to their conversations, and when they got done, I'd say, like. They thought that was kind of weird. At the end of the day, it worked. I got 4 followers. 4 people are now following me. 2 police officers, a private detective, and a psychiatrist. Isn't that funny? There's a big difference between hugs and high fives, handshakes and likes. And you know what? The more you can touch somebody and love them is the better, man. I love the new handshake, right? Where you're not just like, you know, back in the day, how are you? God bless. You know, look in the eye, strong hand. Now it's like slap, slap, slap on the back, right? I like that one, right? Give me some shoulder love. Slap, slap, boom, shoulder love. I like it, all right? Man. As long as it's done in innocence and purity, man, hug them up, all right? If you're still working on the innocence and purity thing, then, you know, high fives are good, right? Smiles, you know. Maybe not in California, but I still like the fake gun thing, right? Now that I think about it, I don't like that one. It's kind of creepy. Can you imagine next week everybody brings a friend? Man, Pastor Rod said we're supposed to bring some friends, and, you know, everybody comes down, they're sitting there, and they're like, hey, some visitors. Yikes! Okay, the fake gun thing doesn't work, all right? This one doesn't work either, all right? Kind of a version of the fake gun thing. Moving right along. The best way, if you want more friends, the best way to have more friends, you ready? The best way to have more friends, be more friendly! It's about you, man. Yeah, it's not about them, it's about you. Lastly, I would say this. I say we're wired for wonder. Say wired for wonder. I was having coffee 2 weeks ago with a really good friend of mine, and he has a big missions organization, and he travels and sends thousands of students out. And so we don't see each other much during the summer. But so we caught up a couple weeks ago, and I said, man, what's going on? And he said, I got to tell you, man. He goes, I'm kind of borderline burnout right now. And I'm like, oh, man. And so before he shared his story, I gave him this like really sappy, sarcastic stuff. And I said, man, that's weird. I go, I'm so sorry, man. I go, I have to check my phone. I'm gonna cancel my carrier because I didn't get that call from you. I'm going to have to check my messages and see what's going on. And he just looked at me like, all right, you know, I should have called you. And I said, yeah, man, you should have called me. He goes, you know, I'm not doing anything stupid. He goes, but I realize that I'm just kind of burnt out and, I'm making the arrangements. I'm going to take a sabbatical next month. I said, that's good. I said, well, tell me about it. He goes, well, I lost my wonder. He said, I'd have conversations with people and walk away and don't know what I said. He said, I'd have conversations with people and then I'd hang up the phone and go, what did I just say? That was horrible. He goes, I would fire people for talking to people this way. He goes, Rod, I lost my wonder. And you know what? We're made to live life to the fullest. John 10:10 says, the thief comes to steal and kill and destroy, but Jesus comes that we have life to the fullest. Life to the fullest is always with people. It's always with people. If you lost your wonder, I want to pray with you to get it back. If you've lost what is true north, and you're going, man, I don't know a relationship from a Facebook like anymore. Or if you're going, man, I always wanted more friends but never had them, and today I realize that I need to be more friendly. Please pray for me. I will. You're in the right place. Can you stand to your feet with me, and we're going to close with this. Just stand all over. I'm not going to give specific altar calls like I normally do and say, you know, if you've done this, come down. If you need to pray for this, come down. I like being specific so that we can know it kind of, you know, prick something in our mind and we go, oh yeah, man, I need to get prayed for that. I'm not going to do that right now. But I'm just going to say, as our prayer partners come forward, Any time during this prayer or me talking that you want to come down and pray with somebody, please do. Don't leave this building if you have a need to pray. If you feel like, you know, your heart's kind of going a little crazy, like, oh man, that's a God thing. It is. If your palm's a little sweaty, you feel a little anxious, right? That's not your blood sugar because it's not time for lunch yet. That's the Holy Spirit saying, man, come, let's do business. Because when you come forward and pray, it's like, that's your action. We always have to do an action. Jesus is always waiting, but he's not going to bang you over the head and go, I want you to just kneel down right now and pray where you're at. He's going, if you come to me, I'll come to you. I already took the first step, man. I offered my life. I gave you everything there is. All you got to do is reach out to me. So at any time during our prayer, including right now, I think, come on down right now. Let us pray for you. It doesn't matter. We'll pray about anything. But I do want to say this. If you've never connected with Jesus Christ and made him your Lord and Savior and stopped living your own selfish life and being connected to yourself and to your sin and to your selfish ways, and you need to be connected with something better than yourself, i.e. Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, please come down and let us pray that prayer with you. That is the most important prayer you could pray today. Let us pray that prayer with you. Would you just lift your hands up like this? I'm not trying to make you guys all charismatic. I'm not going to tell you all speaking tongues or anything like that. This is just a sign for just going, God, fill me up. And I think, Lord, so many times, Lord, we run around from pillar to post. God, we go here and there. We're always checking to see what the speed limit is because we're running late. And we just need 5 more minutes in the morning. We need 5 more minutes before the meeting and 5 more minutes before carpool line. And Lord, it's just a sickness. And we have our arms out to you today. Just say, Daddy God, fill me up. Pick me up. Lift me up. Do whatever you got to do, God, because I'm tired. I need to be a better friend, Lord, and I find myself licking my own wounds instead. And it becomes hard to serve somebody else because I don't feel like I'm getting served myself. And Lord, I pray that as our arms are outstretched, Lord, that you would fill us up with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit of God would come. That's why our arms are here. We're wide open. And the wider they are, the more we're saying, Jesus, please fill me up. Make me whole. Make me a better person. Because when I am whole and I am healthy and I am happy, then I can connect with my friends better. I realize that I'm wired for connection with you. I'm supposed to love God and love people. And it starts with my connection with you. Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Lord, forgive me of my selfishness. Fill me up with your Holy Spirit to do greater works than you. I'm just going to pause for a second, the attitude of prayer. If we can pray with you about anything at all, please make your way down here because I'm going to dismiss you in just a little bit. And then it's going to get a little bit more awkward to come and pray.
Thank you for listening. We pray that this message has ministered to your heart. If you don't already have a church you call home, we invite you to join us at Valley Bible Fellowship for worship, Bible study, fellowship, and more. We're at 2300 East Brundage Lane in Bakersfield, California, near Mount Vernon and Freeway 58. Reach us by phone at 661-325-2251 or visit our website at vbf.org. Here is our King.